16, David HaMelech speaks of his great, the great possession that he possesses, which visibly may not be obvious to everybody else. But this is what he has taken through life. And he depicts how it's a very simple thing. And it's not only he that has the opportunity to achieve this. Every individual has this opportunity. It's not that every, you know, sometimes we can think that only certain people were given this greatness or this spiritual ability to ascend to be a great person like we're speaking. But it's not that way. The final, if you look, I want to read to you and read down later, is that this is a famous Rambam, and back from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, this is the last paragraph in the entire Mishnah Torah. He speaks there about the laws of Shemitah, and he speaks about the shame of Levi. So those that have this book, you can follow with me this quote on page 194 in the footnote. It says there, each and every man, these are the words of my mother, who has come into this world, if his spirit will inspire him, means he has a spirit to inspire him, and he has the intellect necessary for this much understanding, has the opportunity to separate himself and to stand before God to attend and serve him. If he will truly understand God and follow the straight path and remain as God has originally made him, that means when will he have the opportunity to separate himself before God, if he will understand, to follow the straight path and remain as God has originally made him. If he will cast off his neck the burden, well, this is what we really said before, of the many calculations which men seek out, then indeed this man will be sacred. He will become like a holy of holies, and God will be his portion and his estate forever and for all eternity. In this world, he continues, he will be allotted an amount which will suffice for his needs. Not great things, he doesn't give him all the great wealth, but it will suffice for his needs, just as God has provided amply for the priests and the Levites. This is, as David of blessed memory said, and he quotes his phrase, Hashem is my share, you guided my destiny. So this is a, you know, it's very beautiful language, but when you think into it, what the Rambam is saying here, he's saying a very strong basic truism. He's saying that every person has the raw material to really become literally, like we said, a spaceship in the spiritual heavens, to become a holy of holies himself. If he will use these, and he will be able to set aside all the different pursuits, calculations which men seek, and remain sacred with this mission. In fact, I was reading recently a number of articles concerning the Beloved Time. And they say the greatest of the Beloved Time was that he always saw God in front of him. That was really the greatest of the Beloved Time. That wherever or whatever it was like he says later, Shemisi Hashem, the Nagdi Tami, God was always in front of him. And he realized that he was put down in this world for the purpose of serving God. That's the problem, is we don't have this resolve. But a person always has to have the goal in front of him. And it's a very important thing, but people find it, so we'll say, all right, the spiritual world. But even in the spiritual world itself, once you've accepted that as your world, you also have to differentiate and realize what your immediate goal is. There's an interesting rush in the Talmud, back in the Talmud, which begins down. Talmud is speaking about the importance of doing mitzvahs and chesed, like attending funerals and consoling the sick and helping the other mitzvahs. Because chesed is tremendous. So it speaks there about the question is, when are you about the Torah? But the young boy, the man has to study Torah first. So it's like sometimes it's a contradiction. So it brings up a story. This is that the father sent his son away to study Torah in a faraway city. And then he got back reports how he's doing. One report came back, oh, your son is unbelievable. There isn't one funeral that he doesn't participate. He's always visiting the people in the hospital. He's always going ahead and giving, you know, and making sure what other people need. So he sent him back a note. He said, I'm meeting all in their names here. There are sick people here. The reason why I sent you far away from this particular school was for a purpose. He says, you feel excessive, you could have done here. I went you there, sent you there in order for you to excel in your studies for this time. So what I'm trying to say,
say is that after his death, as the Gurdwara says, to recognize what the perspective is.
And of course, you have to go further and evaluate what your goal is at this given time. So David is speaking in this theme here in this chapter, which would be a continuation from the last. And he says, he starts with the term Nichtan. Now Nichtan, there are many interpretations. Some say Nichtan was a special, unique kind of an instrument, Nichtan. Others say the word Nichtan is from the word of the crown. The crown. This was not an instrument that David made the music to be played on his instrument, but was a crown. Others say that Nichtan means from two words, a humble, Nich is humble, and Tom is innocent. That this was a humble and innocent expression for David. You can put it all together, it was a crown, it showed that it was something exemplary, it was something outstanding. What was this outstanding aspect of David's character? That he would always say, Shomreini Keil, guide me God, ki chasisi bo, because I take refuge in you. Guide me, God, because I take refuge in you. What is itself is a greatness, right? That the person aspires, it speaks to God. But he also says, why should God guide me? God should guide me because I seek refuge in you, because I want you, God, to guide me. So it seems that I may not be worthy of God guiding me. But the only reason I want God or I am worthy is because I seek refuge to God. Because he's the one. So like we mentioned recently in our prayers, that we pray to God, that God should respond to prayer. Why? Kikel Shemaya Tfilas, because you're a God who listens to prayer. Not that I'm worthy of your response, but the fact that I recognize that you, God, accept prayers, and therefore I come to pray to you, that's enough for you, God, to intercede and to respond to my prayer. The fact that I recognize, God, that you are the one who can provide refuge. I may be a sinner and I don't have the merits that you should on your own provide refuge, but this is one of the great midos, that if a person recognizes that God is the one who can provide refuge and salvation, so that would make him deserving of God's protection. It's a certain way that the world conducts itself. You know, you could use this as an example, it only shows the extreme, it's not obviously true, but the thing is that if a person has faith in God, that faith itself, no matter what the reason is, will bring about, we've said many times, will bring about God's salvation and will bring about his success. They said that if a guy, right, would have to talk and faith in God, that he would be successful. On his behavior, on his stealing, he would also be successful, but he's lacking in faith in God. So I'm using this as an example, how strong the power of faith is. And we are describing how strong the power of prayer is. It's like almost saying that faith and prayer are a tshuva, tshuva meaning, that's tshuva sometimes can help or not, right? But faith, prayer and tshuva, they themselves have like a unique power outside of the normal goings of nature, we'll say, or spiritual creation. There is three different sources, faith, prayer, and tshuva, that can change the normal course of events. For that reason itself, not for any other reason. But because of your strong faith, because you're doing tshuva, and because of what? And because of the power of prayer. So David is saying, Shomreini Keil, why? Ki chasisi bo. Then he says, Amart Vashem. He is like speaking to his soul, in the expression of the feminine, because the soul is considered to be the feminine gender. Amart Vashem, it's like my soul says to God, Hashem Adonai Ator, the word I emphasize because Aladal Nun Yud doesn't just mean God. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei means God. But Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is a more broader form. And I mean that Yud Kei Vav Kei can be also an intimate God that's concerned for my welfare. But Aladal Nun Yud means you're my master. I'm obligated. I'm like your servant. And this person, like the Talmud says, that before Avraham Avinu, nobody called God Aladal Nun Yud. Because Avraham Avinu was the first one who really recognized that God must be obeyed in every aspect in this world also. Because he is like a servant. Because he's like his master and he's a servant. So it says, Hashem Ator, you are my God. Teivasi ba'olecha. And therefore, since I'm like his servant and I have to serve God, why to reciprocate in kind to me? I mean, if I wasn't obligated by relationship to you, so you wouldn't be obligated to me. And therefore, I'm treating you nicely, so treat me nicely. It's different that. But the fact is, I'm like a servant to you. And I'm really obligated, whatever I do for you, and a servant, who can yashikei of me? I mean, that's his obligation. Tovu asi,
my benefits or my for my benefits, bow a lebo, it's not near you. It shouldn't affect you, and it really doesn't. And yet you go ahead, and you treat me in such a way. So that means that I recognize that the greatness of God, that he reacts to me. Why? Because Shomeini, because of my belief in you, because I have taken refuge in my belief in you. Then he says, Mikidoshim asher be'eretema. I also realize that you, God, respond to me, not for my merits, but for the merits of our fathers. This is a famous phrase which is quoted, Mikidoshim, for the holy people that are buried in the earth, meaning for those that have already departed, on behalf of their merits, and many times I benefit from their merit, from their kindness, that the way they were good, so God pays me back, compensates me for their deeds. They are dire, and for those mighty people, kochem sifon, all my desires, that means the fulfillment of all of my requests, come because of their merit, not only what, for my desire. Others interpret mikdashim asher be'eretz heima, meaning that David HaMelech is saying a second thing, not as a merit, but he's saying, not only do I have my faith in you, God, that's my purpose, but I also aspire to emulate the deeds of our progenitors who are holy. The Kedeshim, I aspire to emulate their deeds. I share their saying what I've already passed on. Here, and these strong people of strong character, Kochet Zippon, my entire desire is what? Is to achieve their greatness. So in a sense, David HaMelech, like I quote you from the Ramah, was saying in these three sentences, this is what he aspires for, this is his whole goal in life. Then he turns for a moment to the idolaters, to those who have different concepts, different hopes in life. And he says, Yirbu atzmosor, let their sorrows multiply. For all those who deny your greatness, your sovereignty, those who refuse to accept God as the one who can provide refuge, meaning those who seek idols. So Yirbu atzmosor, let their multiply their atzmosor on their problem. Acher moaru, why? Because they hurry after strange gods. Acher, after other gods, moaru they hurry. He says, Baal asich niskei en midon. I will not pour out their libations of blood. In a sense, a libation, we know, is really something that you spill from wine, right? Not from blood. But they, so obviously they're not spilling a libation literally of blood. They're spilling libations, beautiful libations perhaps of wine. But these evil people, how did they buy that wine? It could be that wine comes from other people's blood. So Baal Asich Neskeyim, he says, their evil deeds render, the Radak says, their evil deeds render their sacrifices meaningless despite all their libations. Because what good is it if they use the most beautiful wine, we'll say, the most pleasant grapes, as a sacrifice when they've gone ahead and they've performed evil deeds and perhaps, like we said, accumulated their wealth through evil methods, and in this way they extol the gods. So Baal Asich Niskei Midom, I won't be like them, to go ahead and to spill out the libations of blood. Ubal Esor Eshweson Al-Swazai of the idols, or I won't mention the name of their idol worshippers. And we know this is part of our tradition, that we usually don't speak out the name of an idol. We always have like a different word or a different phrase for the mention of the idol, because we find it also in the Torah, where it says, B'shem Elohim Aferin, there's a spirit that you shouldn't mention, the idea of a strange god. And here also he's saying, Baal Esor Eshmosam Al-Sfosai. So some say that it goes on the idol, and some say that it goes on these people, these idolaters, those who worship the idol themselves. He says, Hashem Menos Chelki, that God remains Menos the portion. Menos means that which is allotted to me, a woman. Chelki of my portion. The Kosi, and Kosi, others, kosi can mean my cup, but it means also my allotted portion. The word tochosu, which means a special amount, a fair portion. You, God, give me the allotment and my portion. Ato tomich gorali, and you also guide me.
and help me my own destiny. Rashi says that Tomit, meaning that you God uplift or support my hand in choosing the proper thing. And or you have aroused and inspired me to place, the Matzudah says, the Dove is trying to say, I thought Tomit Ba'ali, that you have given me the inspiration to choose you as my portion. And this is what we said before, that every person has within his heart that spirit, the proper portion. God gave him this original spirit, and that spirit, because if he didn't have that spirit, then it would be very difficult for him to choose something which he doesn't have over something which is present. For example, if he had no predilection or any emphatic drive within him for spiritual matters, it really wouldn't be he still has a choice, but it wouldn't be a fair choice, because in placing him in a world which is beckoned, which beckons him with all kind of allurements and with all kind of different approaches in life, and you're saying that this is one choice. The other choice is some abstract, say, world, a spiritual world, which you don't see, you don't feel, and you don't have any compulsion to accept, and there's nothing attracting you or pulling you. So what kind of a fair choice is that? But really, the way we were saying before, and the Mitzvah mentioned here, the word Atoa, you, Tomir Doroli, you have guided my Doro, my destiny, meaning that there is present in the soul and the spirit of each person something which craves that which is supposedly hidden and esoteric and far beyond the pragmatic, practical world. So therefore, he has this choice. This is what God gives him. So David extols that virtue, and he says, thank you, God, for Atoa Tomir Doroli. This is what we quoted the Rambam before.